From Spark and Anvil and Styleforge, this is Cut, in Chapter 1 of the Styleforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. In the busiest corner of Styleforge, everyone was rushing. Everyone except the small gray heron, standing perfectly still over a length of paper. Around her, apprentices snipped and pinned in a hurry. Cut did not hurry. She had a measuring tape looped around her neck, a roll of pattern paper under one wing, and a pair of shears that she had not yet opened. She was looking at a dress form and thinking, "Aren't you going to cut anything?" an apprentice asked, half laughing. "You've been staring for ages." "I'm measuring," Cut said. "You're not touching it." "I'm measuring with my eyes first, then with the tape, then only then with the shears." She stepped up and wrapped the tape around the form's chest, reading the number aloud like it was a small, important secret. 90, and a little ease so a person could breathe and reach and dance in it. She marked her paper, drew a shape that looked like nothing, then finally opened the shears and cut. One clean, sure stroke. She held the paper piece up against the form. It fit the curve exactly. "See," she said softly, "the paper is a promise. If I measure it true and cut it once, the finished thing keeps the promise. If I rush, the promise breaks, and fabric doesn't forgive you. You can't uncut a mistake." She smiled at the apprentice. "So I go slow. Slow is how I keep my word." Cut had learned about broken promises when she was small. She had grown up near a village tailor shop where her family were line watchers, herons who stood so still and looked so carefully that people trusted their eye. But being trusted felt like a lot to carry, and one day, wanting to seem quick and clever, young Cut had rushed. A neighbor needed a jacket. Cut eyed the measurements instead of taking them, cut the fabric fast, and handed it over proud. It didn't fit. The shoulders pulled. The neighbor was kind about it, but the good fabric was ruined, and Cut felt something hot and awful climb up her chest. She had wanted to look fast. Instead, she'd wasted something precious. Her grandmother found her hiding under the cutting table. She didn't scold. She just sat down on the floor beside her, slow and creaky, and said, "That tight, sick feeling? That's not because you're bad at this. That's because you care. You wouldn't feel it if you didn't." "I ruined it," Cut whispered. "You rushed it. Those are different." Her grandmother picked up a scrap of the wasted cloth and turned it over gently. "Fabric is patient, little one, but it's honest. It gives back exactly what you put in. Measure carelessly, and it tells the truth about that. Measure with love, and it keeps every bit of it." She folded the scrap into Cut's hand. "Take your time. Taking your time is the caring part." Cut kept that scrap for years. The awful feeling faded, but the lesson stayed. Careful was not slow because scared. Careful was slow because it matters. She walked to Styleforge at 12, because a place that made beautiful things ought to respect the quiet, exact work underneath them. Stitch, the old mentor who ran the workshops, met her at the door. Stitch didn't ask her to prove she was fast. Stitch asked one question. "What is pattern making?" Cut didn't answer with a speech. She asked to borrow the dress form, looped her tape around it, and read off the measurements: chest, waist, hip, shoulder, writing each one down like it was worth something. Then she drafted a shape on paper, added a little extra all around, and laid it flat. "That extra bit," Stitch said, testing. "Why?" "Ease, so the body can move, and seam allowance, so there's cloth to sew with." Cut looked up. "The paper isn't the dress yet. The paper is what I promise the dress will be. Everything I do to the paper, the fabric will do back to me." Stitch looked at the neat little pattern for a long moment. "You belong here," Stitch said. Cut's workshop was full of paper promises, pinned to the walls. A kid came in one afternoon, frustrated, clutching a lopsided shirt they'd made. "I cut the fabric right away," they said. "I had the whole idea in my head, and it came out wrong, and now the fabric's wasted, and I feel like I wasted the idea too. Cut knew that slump. She had felt it under a cutting table once. "Show me the person it's for," she said. "It's for me." "Good, then stand still." Cut wrapped the tape gently, shoulders, arms, all of it. She wrote the numbers down. Then she pulled out cheap muslin instead of the good fabric. "Watch. First, we make a pretend one, a mock-up. Nobody's feelings get hurt if the pretend one is wrong." She drafted, added ease, cut the muslin once, and pinned it onto the kid. It fit, across shoulders that were these shoulders, an arm length that was this arm. "Oh," the kid said, going quiet, "it's shaped like me." "That's the whole secret," Cut said. "The pattern isn't a rule from a chart. It's a promise made to one real body. Measure that body true," she pinned a fold. "Add room to breathe. Mark which way the cloth wants to fall. Cut once, carefully. And the finished thing fits the person it was always for. Not rushed, kept." The kid ran a hand over the muslin, over a garment that had been built to hold exactly them, and grinned.
Later, when the workshop was empty, the kid came back with one more question, quieter now. "When you're going slow," they said, "and everybody else is already cutting and sewing and finishing, doesn't it feel like you're behind?" Cut thought about the scrap of cloth her grandmother had folded into her hand. "It used to," she said. "I wanted to be the fast one, but fast broke my promises, and slow kept them. And after a while, I stopped feeling behind and started feeling steady." She touched the tape around her neck. "There's this settled, unhurried feeling when you measure something true, like your hands aren't shaking, like you have all the time you need, like the thing you're making already trusts you. That's not being behind, that's being careful with something that matters." The kid nodded slowly, and Cut watched the frustration ease out of their shoulders, the same warm, unclenched way hers had, years ago, under the table. She didn't say the rest out loud, but she thought it, calm and sure. The careful, quiet, made just for you feeling is the whole point. Take your time, and the thing you make will hold the person it was made for.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Cut. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.